This is Truth Frequency Radio.
The wicked ones, obviously under heavy Masonic influence.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys for tuning in once again. It is New Year's Eve. Can you believe it? We're almost through 2014. I'm bewildered that it has gone this quickly. Thank you guys for tuning in and making Red Pill Reports part of your end of the year closeout, as it were. It is Wednesday. We will be on the air tomorrow, which means I probably won't be going out this evening. But Netflix is doing some nice stuff in regard for, tricking your kids into going to bed early. So I may try that on myself, talk a little bit more about that when we get over into some tech news today. Of course, this is your daily dose of deprogramming. My name's JD. We are live like we are every day, Monday through Friday. It is 10 o'clock Central Time right now. The show is 2 hours. First hour, we always spend going over all the pertinent news of the day, and today will be no exception. There is actually quite a bit of news going on around the world right now. Pretty much every corner of the world saw some sort of action yesterday, so we've got a lot to talk about in that respect. And then in the second hour of the program, we always bring a guest on that we feel like offers you guys some sort of unique perspective on what's going on in the world. And today we're going to have Aaron Dykes and Melissa Melton on. They, of course, from TruthStream Media, one of the best alternative news websites that I think is out there on the internet right now. So very excited. They're always very entertaining and cover a wide variety of topics. Probably going to just be asking them the very simple topic of or the very simple question about whether or not 2014 was, in fact, the worst year ever in the history of recorded time. I think that it might be, but I'm not really looking very much forward to 2015 with everything that's been happening recently. I don't feel like things are just going to settle out over the evening hours this evening. So lots to talk about with them. Tomorrow, as I mentioned, we'll be live and be a big show tomorrow. Wolfgang Halbig will be on the show. He is a National School Safety Administrator and has been doing pretty much has been the tip of the spear, really, essentially, for the research into the alleged event that happened at Sandy Hook. And I'll tell you, if you're still on the fence about Sandy Hook, about whether or not you think something happened there, you're not going to want to miss tomorrow's show. Wolfgang is underspoken. He sticks only to the facts. He's not going to come out here and sensationalize or get into the conspiratorial stuff. We're just going to ask some very simple questions that really fundamentally should be pretty easy for the people there in Connecticut to answer, and the fact that they have not only chosen not to answer any of these simple questions, but instead chose to send armed detectives to Wolfgang's house in Florida to threaten him for asking questions. I'll remind you again, asking these questions is his job. So obviously there's a lot to talk about with this whole Sandy Hook thing. So I hope you guys have taken the 3 hours out of your lives to watch that new documentary, We Need to Talk About Sandy Hook. I've seen it a few times, and I'll tell you, there is a lot of information in that movie. Those guys over at Media Solidarity did a really good job with that. So we'll be talking about that with Wolfgang tomorrow, and probably also talk about that lawsuit, try and figure out if that's something that's really actually happening or if that's part of the agenda to make people like Wolfgang look crazy. I guarantee he'll have an opinion about that. So that will be happening tomorrow. Again, we'll be live New Year's Day, a good way to kick off the new year. And then I've got it on pretty good authority that we'll be joined by Mr. Stan Deo on Friday. That will be obviously a fantastic discussion. We'll be talking about current events, things that are going on in the Middle East right now, and how all of that relates to biblical prophecy. Again, you know, you don't have to believe in biblical prophecy to enjoy this program. It's just another perspective to take into account. It's always important to understand what other people's perspectives are, because that's just part of life. You know, we're all on this rock together, and different people are operating under different pretenses, and if you don't understand them, it's difficult to anticipate what other people might do. So, again, Stan Deo's written a number of fantastic books on biblical prophecy and does a lot of great work in that realm. So I'm definitely looking forward to speaking with him. I haven't spoken to him in a number of months, if not almost a year, so I'm really looking forward to that. Anyway, thank you guys for being here. Thank you for checking out redpillreports.com. We are closing out 2014 today. I'm pretty excited about that. Again, I think potentially, I really think December of 2014 might have been the worst month ever in the history of the world. You got that crazy Supreme Court decision, which basically allows police to do whatever they feel like is reasonable at this point. You got the big NSA disclosure that happened over Christmas. Obviously, the CIA torture report coming out, the non-indictments, you know, the key one there being in New York. And then to cap it all off, we had the release of The Interview. So, you know, one of the worst movies ever. I know I said I liked it yesterday, but I'm keeping that in context for, you know, other people. Obviously, The Big Lebowski is the greatest film ever, so it's difficult to put The Interview anywhere in that list. So, and given all that, I think maybe December was the worst month ever we've ever seen. Who knows? But difficult to say. And we'll talk to Aaron and Melissa about that at 11. Anywho, that's my ramble for this morning. Let's get into the news, because there is so much happening right now around the world, probably in your neck of the woods as well. Want to remind you guys that every day at redpillreports.com, there is a show section there at the top, so you can check out who the guest is, see the links for the guest, and read a little bit about their bio. But there's also going to be a list of all the news articles that we try and cover every day, many of which I won't be able to get to, but it's still a really good one-stop, you know, shopping source for you to go and figure out pretty much what we think here at Red Pill are the big headlines, the stuff that you really need to be cognizant of, because they throw so much of this stuff at us. You know, we should put a page together of the forgotten stories of 2014, because there's just been so many things that have come up and then have been gone. Remember Bo Bergdahl? Remember all that stuff? Man, we just don't hear about any of that anymore. Anyway, moving on here. Looking forward to a new 2015. I don't know about you guys, but good riddance to 2014 is what I say. Anywho, let's move on. National news. There has been another mass grave found in Syria, and this is in the same region as the last mass grave that they found back in October, which is the Deir ez-Zor area there. And essentially, they found the bodies of another 70 citizens, many of which were children and women. Obviously, not a good situation, especially following the fact that they found 230 bodies back in October in the same area. So, still awful, awful things happening in Syria right now. You know, there's really not a lot that can be said about it right now. We obviously are hoping and praying that the situation there will start to become more peaceful for the people that live there. But it probably isn't going to be happening given all of the involvement of the United States all over the world there. Here's a story that would corroborate that. The Pentagon now confirming U.S. airstrikes against Somalia. Okay, so they just issued a statement yesterday confirming U.S. military airstrikes against Sakow, which is in Somalia, with an eye towards killing an unnamed senior leader in the al-Shabaab terrorist group there. And the officials obviously don't go on to say which leader of al-Shabaab that it was that they were trying to kill. They also aren't going to say whether or not they were successful in killing him, although they will come out and say they were pretty sure they didn't kill any civilians. So there you go. You know, we're still dropping bombs. We're obviously escalating the situation around the world now. Somalia coming under the guise, and you know, no inclination or no indication that we were successful in that attack, or that it actually merited any kind of you know, any usefulness. But there you go. So we're dropping bombs on Somalia now, according to the Pentagon. So that's fantastic. In the news yesterday, happening in the afternoon, so it didn't hit the show, but Palestine officially submitted a bid yesterday to the UN Security Council for official statehood. And so that vote was scheduled to happen yesterday afternoon, and that vote ostensibly failed yesterday. So the UN Security Council failed to adopt the Arab coalition's bid for calling for the creation of a Palestinian state and obviously to end the Israeli occupation there, and the veto power of the U.S. and the Australia coalition actually voted against the move with an additional 5 abstentions. The draft resolution gathered actually only 8 votes in favor of it, so it was automatically defeated. But even though it was automatically defeated, the United States still went above and beyond to use its veto power and voted against the resolution, and another vote of veto was thrown in by the United Kingdom, and the abstainers were Lithuania, Nigeria, Korea, and Rwanda. So Palestine not able to muster enough votes to get the statehood that they desperately need to end the Israeli occupation there. Again, I'm not going to go further into that because I don't like pigeonholing myself as being either anti-Israel or pro-Palestine. I think that there needs to be a solution for peace. I don't, you know, I don't really understand why we're allowing these people to continue to throw rocks and bombs at each other. It really, honestly, it's 2015 just about. It doesn't make any sense to me anymore. And again, put an iron dome over both of them, make them super strong, reverse the polarity, take away the keys, tell them in 100 years if they've proven that they can get along with one another, then they can have the keys back. But I think at this point, you know, as much as I hate to think about, you know, a big brother stepping in and doing something. Obviously, this, you know, the victims in the Gaza massacre over the summer were not necessarily Hezbollah or Hamas. They were children and women predominantly. So, you know, the murder of people is still the murder of people, regardless of who wrote what and what book, you know, and what book, how back when or wherever, and what kind of sand you think your people deserve. There's a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things, I guess, is my point with all that, ladies and gentlemen. So anyway, Russia and Japan right now are looked at as likely to cooperate in creating a new Eurasian economic corridor. They're essentially between Japan and Russia right now. They have the perfect opportunity to take their cooperation in eastern Siberia and the Far East to a new level in 2015 if they were to go ahead and set up what they are calling the Eurasian Corridor. And this is an important figure from the ruling Liberal Democratic Party in China talking about this Eurasian Corridor. His name is Hatayama. He is an MP, and this is him speaking in an interview with TASS, which is a Russian news agency. So essentially what's happening right now is that an MP from Japan is saying that they can increase the efficiency of trade in eastern Siberia and the Far East between Japan and China, and Russia, if they were to go ahead and get this Eurasian corridor moving. The concept is a major project of a fundamentally new development in the Trans-Siberian route from Urat to Vladivostok, and it envisions not only a higher level of cargo haulage, but development of national resources and also the founding of up-to-date populated localities based on utilization of highly advanced technology and rationalized consumption of energy. So they're talking about kind of changing the entire nature of the region there through trade. And interesting, though, because, you know, obviously China and Japan, they're very much against each other right now. I mean, there's obviously some economic warfare going on between them. There's a little bit of skirmishes happening with contested islands. The United States, fully supporting the Japanese Asian Navy, and we're obviously trying to. That's one area a lot of people might not know, that we did not cut back in our military. We've actually put more of our military over into the Asia Pacific area because we're trying to essentially be allies with Japan. So now it's funny to me watching all of these economic and political happenings around the globe, how the strange bedfellows that it seems to be making, you know, as the world seems to get smaller and smaller as we become more interconnected. You can see these kind of weird partnerships lining up, because obviously China and Russia, huge economic partners at this point. China just this week stepping in, I think, with like a $24 billion bailout for Russia, or at least making one available and making it known to the world that it'd be available. So interesting that Russia at the same time would be partnering with Japan, or at least thinking about doing that. Just, you know, strange bedfellows. That's really all I can say about that. But Japan and Russia looking at creating the Eurasian Economic Corridor and affecting a lot of the culture that is in that area right now. Let's see here. Russia also just this week recently listed the Islamic State, known as ISIL or ISIS, and the al-Nusra Front as terrorists officially in their government. So in a statement released Tuesday, the foreign minister noted that steps were fully in line with the UN Security Council resolutions, which also called for the naming of the aforementioned organizations to be terrorists. So they are essentially, Russia came out and said, yes, we agree. And Russia actually went a little bit further and said that every nation needs to fall in line with these two UN Security Council resolutions, because obviously the Islamic State is probably one of the largest threats to humanity. And this is, of course, according to Russia. I'm not necessarily saying that, because we here at Red Pill Reports have got some pretty strong feelings about who's actually running the ISIS show. But that can be a discussion for a different day. But anyway, Russia officially calling the organization terrorists and asking that other people follow suit. So there you go with that. Let's see. A Czech veteran, a veteran from the Czech Republic, who is a former military doctor. He participated in missions in Kosovo and Afghanistan. He has gone ahead and asked the Czechoslovakian Defense Ministry to take back all of his NATO medals. So he's basically saying that the North Atlantic Treaty organization is a criminal organization with atrocious interests, and he is ashamed, deeply ashamed is actually what he says, that he was a part of it, and he's asked to return all of the NATO military medals to the Czech Defense Ministry. Czech Defense Ministry says there's really not a policy about stripping medals from people, but if you'd like to send them back, you are more than welcome to do so. So interesting that around the world we see people really stepping up against NATO, and you know, having a doctor from Czechoslovakia who's already received medals, you know, deciding to return them. That's pretty amazing. You know, I mean, these people have made poor decisions, and you know, you people out there that have made those same poor decisions, you guys are going to be stuck with that on your deathbed. You know, and I'm not trying to, you know, really knock anybody here, but if you've been a part of that and you realize in your soul that a change needs to be made, you know, make some restitution. Do it for yourself. Do it for your family. Do it for humanity. My goodness. Let's see here. The Snowden revelations have continued. Obviously, Der Spiegel in Germany there has been releasing a lot of interesting tidbits here and there. There's been a big classified intelligence dump also on WikiLeaks, and people are combing over them. And one of the things that has come to light recently is a leaked list from NATO, which was essentially the kill list, NATO's kill list, people that they wanted to eliminate in Afghanistan during the 2009 to 2011 period. And what's interesting about this is that this kill list doesn't just prioritize really high-level enemy combatants, but it actually classified really mid-level and low-level members of the group also. So we were targeting not only the high-level people, but some of the mid- and low-level people. Obviously, those are people that we probably didn't really need to be going after with drone strikes, especially to the tune of the cost of it. But what's important to understand is that women and children and elderly were considered civilians, but any men that were around any of these mid- and low-level members were considered collateral damage, but not considered civilians, so they would not be counted in the civilian count. They were considered justifiable. And there are also reports of essentially low-level drug dealers, people who essentially were already in Afghanistan cultivating the opium farms there, because that's what they've done there for years and years and years. The NATO organization would recognize that those people were distributing narcotics, and because the threat potentially existed that the sale of those narcotics could be used to fund, you know, the jihadist movement or the Taliban over there, those people became targeted as well. So potentially a lot more civilians just carrying out normal, typical activities in the Afghanistan countryside there ended up being targeted. So obviously not boding well for people's belief in the NATO organization right now. Obviously, you know, we just had the story, Czechoslovakian doctor returning his medals, so that is interesting too. This leak at the Ukrainian nuclear plant. Okay, we had this story yesterday about the nuclear plant quote-unquote accident. The accident word was thrown in there by Yatsenyuk, and he was actually referring to an incident that happened at this plant about a month ago, but a similar incident happened just over the weekend. And now, of course, there's been a whole bunch of stories. We're going to bounce around here a little bit. I'm going to try and get my brain straight because there's been international stories about this Ukrainian nuclear plant, and there's also been tech stories about this. So I'm going to try and meld the two together, because the accident that they talk about was the circuit breaker in number 6 reactor is the one that's been questionable in this incident and the incident that took place before that. So essentially what has happened is that somebody has cyber attacked this Ukrainian nuclear plant. There, we had the warning before Christmas, somebody sending three of these nuclear plants information saying that they had been hacked, and then releasing some information back to the people at the nuclear plant showing, you know, schematics, electrical blueprints, things like that, saying not only have we hacked your system, but we have all the information that we need to shut your system down. Okay, so there were a couple of nuclear plants that closed before Christmas. I think there were three of them. They have all essentially been reopened. The public has been told no harm, no foul. These systems are completely removed from the internet, so there's really no way that anybody could hack these systems. Okay, so then we have the incident over the weekend, which knocked. This is again, this is the fifth largest nuclear power plant in the world. So we're not just talking about, you know, a little plant someplace, and it's already, it's also in Ukraine, which is where obviously Chernobyl is. So they're not going to take this lightly. But anyway, so the accident that happened yesterday, they involved a shutdown, and they were back up to running at about 40% power. But there were rumors that there were actually some radioactive leaks. And, of course, during the story we had yesterday, there were no radioactive leaks. There was nothing to be concerned about on a 1 to 7 scale. I'm sorry, on a 0 to 7 scale, which is how they rate nuclear accidents and incidents. The plant manager said this is essentially a zero, okay? So no reason to even record it, nothing to see here, let's keep moving. But now, today, coming out of Russia Today, which is obviously, a fairly well-supported news organization at this point, I usually don't think that most of what they say is total garbage, but they're saying now a radioactive leak has been detected at the Ukraine's Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, which is, again, the largest in Europe, fifth largest in the world, and the Ukrainian officials are busily denying this report right now. The Ukrainian authorities have denied the Russian media report that a radioactive leak has taken place at the plant. That was what Reuters was saying. So they're, you know, the people, again, the energy ministry at the plant saying everything is normal, there's been no accidents, no official comment about whether the leaked documents are authentic, and then we're talking again about the hacked documents here. So they're really kind of melding a lot of issues into this one article, and I'm trying to keep it all straight for you guys here. But two documents released by Life News appear to show that the plant's officials put deliberately misleading information on their website. The documents, both addressed to the head of the regional emergency services, state that radiation levels at the plant on Sunday and Monday, listen to this, were nearly 17 times higher than the legally permitted norm. 17 times higher. And that's what was on the website. No, I'm sorry. This is the documents that they sent to the head of the regional emergency services. So by Monday, they said that the levels had actually increased up to, again, 17%, 17 times higher, and that Unit 6 was still shut down. But the report said, contradicting the plant's statements, that the problem had been fixed and that the plant was now operating normally. So on Sunday, again, one of the plants was automatically shut down after a glitch, becoming the second halt in operations in recent weeks, and the reactor is running at 40% of normal power. So is there a major nuclear leak going on in Ukraine right now? It seems to me pretty likely that that's actually what is going on. And so we're going to just jump to it here. I got to get over into the tech news here, if you'll bear with me for just 1 second. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. This is the article that came out this morning from Raw Story. A South Korean authorities... Nope, different story. Oh, okay. Anyway, so the nuclear plant in Ukraine has been hacked. They have been under the constant cyber attack right now. No real indication as to whether or not it's North Korea or Russia or anything like that, and there's really no indication or substantiated information about this leak other than the plant is denying that there was a leak, and they're telling the ministry there that there has been a really big leak. So again, if you live near that plant, you're in Ukraine, I would be moving right now. That's just me, just saying. Anyway, moving on. Let's see here. There has been a fire at a Libyan oil port, and it has been burning for about a week right now. There are pictures, again, at redpillreports.com under the show section there. But this report comes out of Reuters talking about a fire that has been raging for almost a week at Libya's biggest oil port of El Sadir. It destroyed up to 1.8 million barrels of crude and damaged 7 large storage tanks, causing so far a total damage of $213 million. So the terminal and nearby Ras Lanuf stopped working 3 weeks ago, and forces loyal to the rival government in Tripoli tried seizing from them. Tried seizing from the forces allied to the recognized prime minister. So essentially this big oil fire happened because there was a skirmish between the people who were successful in toppling the government there and the people who are trying to reform a government there in Tripoli. And that fighting looks like, and according to Reuters, most likely was the cause, the fire was most likely caused by rockets. So lots of oil being burned there. Will it do anything to the price of oil? Not really. 1.8 billion barrels of crude in Libya is only four days worth of pumping. So, you know, it sounds like a large number, but not really super duper big. And there was a mass murder that happened in Edmonton, Canada yesterday. 9 different people died, and it was linked across 3 different crime scenes in Alberta, according to police there. Again, 9 people have been killed, 3 separate but linked crime scenes in Edmonton and Fort Saskatchewan, according to numerous reports coming out of Canada. So they're obviously still investigating this multiple homicide there. They have not released any victims' names yet because they're still waiting for next of kin and things like that to be notified and things like that. I will say that there were 2 children involved and 1 30-year-old woman, so most likely this was a love affair gone wrong. Difficult to say. They are saying it has nothing to do with terrorism right now, so that's probably a good thing. But that did happen in Edmonton yesterday. If we get more information about that, we will, of course, keep you guys up to date. We've got to go take a quick 3-minute break right now, guys. When we come back, we've got lots of national news. We've got lots of health news today. We've got lots and lots of tech news, lots of stuff to go over. So keep it right here. 3-minute break. This is, of course, your Red Pill Reports for the last day of the year 2000.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Here at MyPatriotSupply.com, our customers are number one. Built on a self-sustaining business model, we don't owe our existence to big banks or big business. Instead, the company was built by you, the customer. The success of My Patriot Supply is a testimony to the loyalty and dedication of each and every one of you, to our old-fashioned values and top-rated customer service. These elements alone have made us the number one choice of patriots everywhere. We believe that being prepared should not be a luxury reserved by people with large disposable incomes, which is why we have the products you need at the prices you can afford. We bring you our Patriot Pantry brand of storable food, which features top-of-the-line flavors and carefully packed to store for 25 years. Plus water purification systems, non-GMO heirloom seeds, survival gear, and much, much more. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Doctors don't want you to know about iodine because it allows the body to heal itself quickly and permanently. Iodine Now is a complete powder formulation that will load iodine into the body with vitamin C for the best possible absorption. Iodine Now, available by the case, and for protection from radiation, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including all heavy metals. We believe that this is the main element that humans need more than any other at this time. This formulation is infused with our bioactive aerobic rare earth nutrient powder that has a powerful negative charge that attracts positive toxins. Why not buy one product that does the job of 20 and saves you space, time, and money? Has a storage life of 100 years. All for about $18 a month. Call 888-910-4367 or visit hempusa.org. Call 888-910-4367. 910-4367. Bringing back the universal medicine for mankind. Iodine Now. Only at hempusa.org.
Degrees of Insanity with Donnie Gilson.
Sunday on Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys for sticking with us through that three-minute break. We are right in the middle of a... Sorry, I'm trying to read a text at the same time looking at the news, guys. Right in the middle of our news segment for the day, and that's what we do during the first hour, try and keep you guys up to date on everything that's going on. And we finished up with the international stuff, so I want to jump into what's going on around the country right now because there are a lot of goofy things going on. There's been a major, major work slowdown, if you could even call it that, in New York City, and it's almost a work stoppage in terms of the New York Police Department. They have not really been doing anything for the last week. Arrests right now are down 66% in the city. And, of course, this is a response right now for the, obviously the police are a little bit concerned with being out in public right now, so they are essentially letting some of the lower grade crime just slip by the radar. Of course, right now, this is affecting everybody in the city right now, because is this obviously going to lead to a rise in crime? It's kind of difficult to say, but let's just look at some of the numbers here. Right now, tickets and summonses in New York City are down for minor offenses by 94%. 94%. That's huge. And the dramatic drop obviously comes as Police Commissioner Bill Bratton and Mayor Bill de Blasio planned to hold an emergency summit yesterday. So they're right now, as of yesterday, they were trying to figure out what exactly they were going to do to try and close this widening rift between the cops and the administration there. And the angry union leaders have ordered drastic measures for their members since December 20th, assassination of the two NYPD cops in their patrol car. And one of the things that they've asked for and demanded from police officers is that two units respond to every single call. And so that's obviously helped contribute to a nosedive in low-level policing, with overall arrests down 66% for the week starting December 22nd compared with the same period back in 2013. Citations for traffic violations fell 94%. From 10,069 down to 587 during that time frame. Let's see, parking violations are way down, 92% right now, and drug arrests by cops are down also 84%. So last year it was about 382 during this last week. This week only been 63 arrests. So police, of course, are saying that safety concerns are the main reasons for the drop-off in police activity, but they also added that some cops are mounting an undeclared slowdown in protest of de Blasio's response to the non-indictment in the police chokehold of Eric Garner. So that's what's happening in New York City right now. Obviously, a major work stoppage on the part of the New York Police Department. What's that going to mean for the residents there? Difficult to say, but it'll be interesting going forward, so we'll keep an eye on that. Let's see here. Very interesting story coming out of InfoWars today, talking about the FBI. FBI, a lot of people might not know, was ordered by the Department of Justice last year to mount an investigation against itself to see if perhaps there were some flaws in the forensic testimony, which has led thousands and thousands of people to go to jail. There has been a lot of speculation about some of the forensic techniques that were used by the FBI going all the way back between 1970 and 1980. And so essentially, the FBI started to investigate themselves. They found out, wow, we really actually have a problem here. So they halted the investigation and then went back to the DOJ and said, we don't want to keep doing this because it makes us look really bad. And the DOJ said, yeah, that's kind of why we're doing it. So they went back and forth for a while. And so just last month, they actually reinstituted this investigation. And very, very interesting stuff because essentially there are a lot of people that were put in prison based on hair analysis, based on DNA analysis from hair samples. Trouble is the science that was necessary to identify DNA in hair sample analysis didn't actually exist at the time. So what that really means is that the FBI and a team of people there actually mounted a campaign to imprison what looks like to be a few thousand people, many of which are on death, a lot of which have already been executed. So this investigation, you know, it just goes to show you every single agency that we have, you could name any agency and look into it and find corruption. That's just the way, it just seems to be the way of the world right now. Maybe if Holder gets replaced by somebody who's willing to actually do his job or her job, there'll be some sort of something that will happen. Or something will come from this FBI investigation. Regardless, we're hoping that the DOJ will follow through and at least allow the people who were potentially wrongfully incarcerated to know about it. Up for the first 11 months of the investigation, none of the people that were part of the investigation in terms of the people who are in prison right now because of the forensic testimony, none of those people were even alerted to the fact that there might have been some tomfoolery with their forensic prosecution. So hopefully the DOJ will eliminate that and at least get some of these people in the loop on the fact that people are, you know, trying to pull the wool over their eyes. Here's another great story. I love this story. This is so fantastic. U.S. Representative Michael Grimm said late on Monday he is resigning his seat in Congress. Okay, this is 1 week after the Staten Island, New York Republican pled guilty to federal tax evasion. Now, Grimm, he's 44. He's a former Marine and an FBI agent. He won his reelection in the House back in November after serving one term as a congressman of New York's 11th District, which covers all of Staten Island and parts of Brooklyn. Back in April, he was accused of concealing more than $1 million in revenue and failing to report hundreds of thousands of dollars in employee pay at his Manhattan restaurant, Healthalicious. He was scheduled to go on trial in February and face a 20-count indictment for paying workers, some of them undocumented, off the books with cash, underpaying his taxes, and committing perjury in running the Upper East Side restaurant. He reached an agreement with federal prosecutors last week and pled guilty to one count on December 23rd. I love his little speech here. He says, "The decision has been made with a heavy heart, and I've really enjoyed my special relationship and closeness with my constituents who I care about deeply." You may remember this guy, and if you don't remember, I would highly encourage you to go to YouTube and look up a little video called, what do you want to call it? I think maybe U.S. Representative threatens to break reporter in half. Yeah, that was this guy. Remember that video? Came out a couple of months ago back in January, making waves, threatening a local TV reporter on camera. The reporter was actually interviewing him before Barack Obama's State of the Union address and asked him about allegations concerning the federal inquiry into his campaign finances, and Grimm, believing the question was an unfair ambush, went and did this on camera. You can see this on YouTube. Told the reporter that he would throw him over the balcony and break him in half if he ever asked him about a federal investigation again. So, again, you know, these people that are in power that are, you know, supposedly people that we put there are all corrupt, ladies and gentlemen. This is, you know, again, this guy is not a good dude. If you threaten to throw a reporter off a balcony, you shouldn't have a job anyway, but apparently that video didn't make enough waves to let people know this guy is purely psychopathic. And I love what he says about the little restaurant too. He says, "Although it was a little restaurant, I made some big mistakes." Oh my gosh, what an idiot. A guy needs to go to jail for a long time. I think not only do we need a national police offender registry, but we should have a national politician offender registry. So any of these guys that do something stupid like this Leland dude from California that was voting to eliminate your gun rights while at the same time funneling guns via the container full to Filipino Muslims. Fantastic. That's exactly who we need representing us. Obviously looking out for our best interests. My goodness, what are you going to do? Good times, good times. Little report out of Memphis right now, too. I got to give some kudos over there. Homeowners in Memphis are standing their ground against crooks, and it is costing crooks their lives in less than the last week. In less than 1 week, three would-be burglars have been killed by homeowners protecting their turf in Memphis. These people are taking it upon themselves to clean up their community, and I love it. I love it. That's exactly, you know, what we need to have happen. There's nothing like shooting a few perps that will make your community a lot safer very, very quickly. News out of Los Angeles, the autopsy into the killing of the 25-year-old unarmed, mentally ill black man during a scuffle with LAPD officers earlier this year has been released, and it does reveal that Ezell Ford was shot three times at close range, with two of the wounds being fatal. The autopsy from the coroner's office, which was released earlier this week, says that Ford was shot three times. One in the right side, one in the right back, and in the right arm. The report also says that the back and side wounds were fatal. So again, mentally ill, unarmed black man shot in the back and side fatally. Also say that the wound on his back showed a muzzle imprint, which means the gun was pressed up against his skin when the trigger was pulled. So that's not the, the idea isn't that he was struggling or moving around or twisting, trying to get away from them as they shot him. It was that they put a gun to his back and they pulled the trigger and they shot him. So that's, again, is anybody going to be indicted about this? Who really knows? The autopsy does consider this a homicide, and they're obviously LAPD saying that the homicide investigation is still ongoing. According to the family, Ford, the young man who was shot, suffered from schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and depression. And the parents right now are suing the LAPD for $75 million, which is obviously going to come out of taxpayer money. And I think that's one of the big issues, is that when these people do these things that are horrendous, any type of accountability that comes into play always comes out of the pockets of taxpayers. So that kind of, you know, there's no pain going back to the LAPD or back to the organization that inflicts this damage. It's just, it just can be basically forgotten about, which is exactly what they want to do. Let's move on to the economy right now. Things are good. Happy days are here again, ladies and gentlemen. 18,022 at the Dow, up about 40 points today. We're also looking at, crude oil at 5-year lows right now, ladies and gentlemen. $52.76 for a barrel of oil, down over 2.5% just today. That is a new 5-year low, down more than 50% from where it was back in June. And let's see, gold also following suit, going down just a little bit today. $11.85 for an ounce of gold. Silver, $15.71 big pennies. We'll get you an ounce of silver today. The report coming out of Ukraine right now essentially saying they are in full-blown financial crisis right now. The country's foreign exchange reserves shrank to $9.9 billion in the last month as Kiev gave them an estimated $8.6 billion to buy gas and to settle state-guarantee euro bonds, and $3.1 billion went to settle the debt with Russia's Gazprom. So the conflict right now over Russia's reunification with Crimea obviously killed 4,700 people, if not more, also dragging down the economy. So they're essentially saying in Ukraine right now that they have a full-blown financial crisis, and they're really working hard to protect the currency, the hryvnia, which has lost half of its value since November. So obviously things in Ukraine spiraling more and more out of control. They are looking, the central bank there is looking to try and do something. Obviously, you know, we've been talking about Ukraine possibly joining NATO, and obviously they had the vote of non-alignment. They had voted to be non-aligned before, and they essentially removed that non-alignment policy, which is kind of moving them one step closer to NATO, which is obviously going to be part of the austerity package if they want money from the IMF. So you can see kind of where all that's going. Anyways, let's move on to some more different stuff here. The International Monetary Fund says it has suspended financial aid to Greece until the formation of a new government can happen in the debt-ridden country. Obviously, we had that story yesterday about the elections that did not go the way that the government thought that they were going to go. So now we're going to have new snap elections. Part of the process with snap elections, well, part of the argument in Greece right now is to, you know, continue along with the Troika bailouts, which obviously carry with them a lot of austerity measures on the people. But because now we're looking at a snap election, the anti-austerity movement is really picking up a lot of steam, and people realize that they don't need to necessarily be forced into austerity by their government. And of course, the government under pressure from the IMF, which is what we're talking about now, because they're essentially, this is heavy-handed pressure from the IMF to sway the people to vote the way the IMF wants them to vote. That's essentially what's going on here. It's a shakedown, just, you know, typical IMF classical operating method here is they're shaking down the people of Greece now, because they're going to say, if you don't vote the way we want you to vote, you're not going to get your bailout and your economy is going to crash. If you do vote the way we want you to vote, you'll get the bailout, but you'll have to deal with austerity. So rocking a hard place in Greece right now, following on the heels of Cyprus. I believe that things will be worse there before they get better. And there is some economic news also coming out of Greece just in terms of the economy. Bank runs, risk of bail-ins. Obviously, we're talking about the IMF again. Lots of financial turmoil going down. They actually closed yesterday about 7% lower in Greece on their stock market there. So definitely a lot going on over there. We already talked about oil prices being at a five-year low yesterday. They hit new lows today. Ecuador has got a new electronic money system that they're putting into place. It's essentially, if you were to go back to the beta version of Apple Pay, that's exactly what they're attempting to do in Ecuador now. It ties into your phone. Everything is going to happen over your phone. It's not going to be very secure. It's interesting because Ecuador has outlawed Bitcoin, which is obviously very, very secure because of the blockchain, things like that. And there's no blockchain or any public ledger or anything that has to do with these particular transactions that are going to be taking place in this electronic money system going on in Ecuador. But by the end of the year, the voluntary program will be in full effect there, so you'll be able to pay your bills, do all that kind of stuff over your cell phone. Will it be secure like Bitcoin? No. Is it going to, you know, open up people in Ecuador to having their information stolen? Yes. So anyway, I don't know if I'd be a part of that. Again, right now they're saying it's a voluntary program. I think you can look at history and say, probably 5 years from now it will be mandatory, as voting is mandatory in Ecuador also. So if they tie that into the voting system and make that the necessary requirement to vote, boom, you've got mandatory electronic money systems on your phone. So there you go, happening there. Also, the Alaskan governor has now warned of the state's financial fiscal situation because it is critical. They have put a lot of large spending projects on hold right now. Obviously, the cost of oil dropping is having a pretty profound effect on Alaska. It's awesome because, you know, the talking heads on TV are talking about what a great tax break this is for everybody. Obviously, you know, cheaper gas prices are kind of a backdoor stimulus for the economy, which is true for pretty much everybody except for, you know, Alaska and Montana and South Dakota and North Dakota and Wyoming and Texas and, well, pretty much half of the country right now is going to be facing really, really big deals going on with layoffs and things like that. Obviously, you know, the oil industry, we've talked about ad nauseum on the program, being really the only contributor to GDP in the United States anymore. So the fact that the oil prices continue to crash and people like governors of states of places like Alaska starting to feel the pinch and making public commentary about it. You know, it's not even 2015 yet. I think we won't see a lot of results from this until about March. So anyway, we'll keep an eye on that. Let's move on to some tech news right now. I have to tell you, I was confused in my mind earlier there when I was talking about the tech story with the Ukrainian nuclear power plant and the ones that were shut down in South Korea. That was the mistake that I was making. So if I confused you guys out there, hey, it's Wednesday. Deal with it. I get confused sometimes too. But a low-risk worm has now been removed from the South Korean nuclear power plants that were effectively hacked. So this, again, flies in the face of the reports that we were getting from them, because initially they said This was the nuclear power plants where people hacked in and had the data from the electrical systems and things like that. The power plant said that that stuff, all of the documents and things like that, were most likely cultivated from the machines, because the machines that those things are kept on are not part of the external internet. They're not part of the network. They're not accessible from outside. So most of that stuff, the you know, the people from South Korea believe were cultivated during a time when there were, you know, external workers in the plant, people who were not necessarily plant workers, contractors, things like that. And so somebody potentially could have put, you know, a USB drive into some system that wasn't connected to the outside world. But the deal is now that they have removed a worm. This is a Trojan, obviously, something that was put there on purpose. And again, not sure whether or not it was an external worker, somebody coming in and putting it on there, or whether or not it was inadvertently introduced by workers who actually do work at the plant by, you know, something like an unauthorized USB device. But they are saying that they have isolated it and removed it, and now everything is totally fine in the South Korean world of nuclear power generation. So usually it's about the time when they tell me that there's nothing to worry about, and I start thinking, I'm going to worry about this. So anyway, South Korea also having some issues with nuclear power plants right now. There's been in some new research I thought was fairly interesting. I want to share with you guys about the downfall of the Mayan civilization. There has been a new study that examined minerals from around the famous underwater cave in Belize, which is known as the Blue Hole. And in that study, they discovered evidence for an extreme drought that happened between 800 and 900 AD, which perfectly corresponds to the time period in which the ancient Mayan civilization apparently has collapsed. So now they're saying directly that they can directly correlate, you know, the downfall of the Mayan civilization to a large 100-year drought that took place during that time, and they did that by examining some of the sediment in a natural, I don't really know what to call it. It kind of looks like a hole in the ground, looks like a giant bucket. It's called the Big Blue Hole, and essentially as the water went away, all the sediment would wash down into the very bottom of this. So they were able to look at what was actually at the bottom and determine that there was a great big drought that happened there. So fairly interesting stuff. New theory about the Sony hack: inside job. And again, we kind of mentioned that yesterday, but again, the researchers from the cyber intelligence company Norse have now turned all of their information over to the FBI and basically said, you guys are crazy. There's no way that North Korea pulled that off. There's no real correlation between the two. And we have all this information about this disgruntled ex-employee that worked there and would have had access to all of this. And if you use logic and you take away, you know, all of the crazy, ridiculous, you're pretty much just left with what actually probably happened in it. So it seems pretty guaranteed at this point. That was an inside job from Sony. So anyway, that is what is going on there. I'm going to move on to some health news right now. A second patient is being tested for Ebola in Scotland right now. Of course, we had the story of the woman returning from Sierra Leone through Casablanca and through Heathrow over the weekend and then being administered to the hospital less than 12 hours later. Obviously a concern for people if you live in the UK right now, but now a second patient in Scotland being tested for Ebola after returning from West Africa. This is the second person to be tested recently in the UK. Obviously, there was one other one, William Pooley, who returned to Britain earlier and was treated at the hospital in London, the same hospital that the Ebola nurse is at right now, which is, if I can get the name of it here right, I think it's the London Royal Hospital there. So anyway, she has been moved to the London Royal Hospital. And she is right now listed in stable condition, so hopefully she will pull through all of this. Her name has been now released as Pauline Kafferke. She was a nurse who was part of a 30-strong team of medical volunteers that was sent to Sierra Leone last month. So, again, you know, end of the year, they did a really good job keeping Ebola out of the news cycle, but we did have the report from the CDC last week suggesting that more than 1,400 people currently being monitored for Ebola in the country right now. Obviously, it's kind of a big deal, especially when you consider all of the holiday travel through Heathrow. To me, you know, that's just an indicator that people need to be really aware of their surroundings, and I hope people are paying attention, and I hope that if you were on that flight that you are okay. Let's see here. Some interesting health news also coming out of Natural News right now. For those of you out there toying with the idea of vaccinating your child, this is a great article, 10 reasons why you should not vaccinate your child. Again, you can go to redpillreports.com and get into the news section, and you will be able to see all of these articles. There are some pretty amazing articles actually in health today. One of them also, 15 toxic beliefs that you should give up to be happy. I love this website, which is The Mind Unleashed. It's one of my very favorite new websites. I always find such wonderful things on here to think about. Maybe we should talk about this for just a second, since we are drawing to the end of our news hour here. But so many limiting and toxic beliefs that we hold on to, beliefs that keep us from living the happy, joyful, meaningful life that we all deserve to live. And by keeping up on them or giving up on them, we can let go of all that extra baggage that is weighing us down. We allow ourselves to be happy. I kind of always go back to the story of the guy climbing the mountaintop to go talk to the Buddhist priest. And he goes to the Buddhist priest after, you know, an arduous journey, and he says, I want happiness. And the Buddhist priest smiles and says, well, this is easy. He says, just first remove the I, because that's ego, that's not real, right? And then you remove the want, because that's just desire, that doesn't really exist either. And what are you left with? Happiness. Yep, so that's the key, ladies and gentlemen, is that you have to remove the ego, and you have to remove the desires and the expectations, and then you can just focus on the fact that so much good and so much beauty is happening all around you all the time. Let's give up some of these other ideas. How about that idea that you are not enough? Give it up. This is a limiting and toxic belief of you not being good enough or smart enough or rich enough or beautiful enough. That's not reality. That's just the construct that we live in. So remind yourself as awesome as possible that who you are is more than enough, okay? People who believe they've lost purpose in their life, purpose is not something you can ever lose. It's part of who you are. Your purpose is in your heart. It's within you. And as long as you will still be breathing and still living on the planet, your purpose will be living also. So stop looking for your purpose out there and look for it within you instead. Because that's where you're going to find it. It's right where you left it. Better to be one of the herd than to be called a weirdo. Wrong answer. So give up that toxic belief also about you having to be like everybody else. Dare to be authentically yourself. I say that all the time. I thought for a long time about being someone else, but then I looked around, and it turns out everyone else was already taken. So I figured I would just be the best darn version of me as I possibly could. So go where your soul needs to go, not where the herd expects you to go. Allow yourself to feel vulnerable. Give up all your masks, all your costumes. Tear down all the walls that you've built to hide and numb yourself. Remove all those barriers between you and everyone else, and allow yourself to be fully seen. Reveal yourself to those around you, and allow yourself to be truly loved. Get comfortable with your perfect imperfections, and never deny your own vulnerability. It's like Carl Jung said, you find the things about your personality that you think are negative, and you work to turn them into strengths. That's how you grow as an individual. And I think that's a very poignant thing to be thinking about on the last day of 2014. Do you need to change? Do you need to make life better? Maybe we all can do that. I'll make it. There's no reason to beat yourself up about it. Be happy. Be happy. Be in the moment. In the moment, we're going to take a 3-minute break. Right back. Hopefully, Melissa and Aaron will be on the program. We're very much forward to them. Right back, guys. 3-minute breaks.
Joe Joseph here for Truth Frequency Radio. According to allgov.com, since 9/11, a total of 238 Americans have died from a terrorist attack. That's 24 a year, making your chance of dying 1 in 625,000. Conversely, you have a 1 in 1,000 chance of becoming a victim of police brutality. Yet we spend trillions of dollars on the war on terror while militarizing an abusive police force. At TruthFrequencyRadio.com, we have a team of the very best personalities in independent media. A team that's dedicated to bringing you reliable and rock-solid news and information so you can arm yourself with knowledge and join the fight against worldwide oppression and tyranny. Truth Frequency Radio. News without the hate, hype, and fear.
Hey, Big Mouth. Yeah, you. Listen, I want you to put the word out on the street. Tell your co-workers, your family, your paisanos, that my good friend, Joe Joseph, is doing a good thing here. He's sticking his neck out for me, for Syl, and for all the people in the world. Isn't that right, Syl?
He's part of the family now, Deej.
That's what I thought. So tune in to him right here on Freedom Link, Monday to Friday, exclusively on the Truth Frequency Radio. Yeah, they're watching you. Big deal. They're watching me, too. They're watching everybody. So grow some cojones and give them something to watch and listen to. Make them earn it. Give them paperwork until they choke. That's right. I know you won't let me down. So you're going to put the word out about my good friend, Joe Joseph, right? Good. Now do me a favor and get out of here.
Doctors don't want you to know about iodine because it allows the body to heal itself quickly and permanently. Iodine Now is a complete powder formulation that will load iodine into the body with vitamin C for the best possible absorption. Iodine Now, available by the case and for protection from radiation, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including all heavy metals. We believe that this is the main element that humans need more than any other at this time. This formulation is infused with our bioactive aerobic rare earth nutrient powder that has a powerful negative charge that attracts positive toxins. Why not buy one product that does the job of 20 and saves you space, time, and money? Has a storage life of 100 years. All for about $18 a month. Call 888-910-4367 or visit hempusa.org. Call 888-910-4367. 910-4367. Bringing back the universal medicine for mankind. Iodine Now. Only at MUSA.org.
You are listening to the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
No hate. No hype. No fear.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. We are, of course, live right now, moving into the second hour of our radio broadcast today. And in the second hour, we always have the best guests in the world on. Today is no exception. We're getting ready to talk to, quite literally, two of my very favorite people on the planet, ladies and gentlemen. We are joined by Mr. Aaron Dykes and Miss Melissa Melton. They are, of course, the founders and producers of TruthStream Media. I would highly recommend everyone go to TruthStreamMedia.com. Honestly, you guys have done so much with the website just over the last couple months. One of the most beautiful websites for alternative information that there is on the internet, as far as I'm concerned. So that outlet exists to, you know, examine the news, kind of uncover some of the deceptions, pierce through the fabric of illusions, also identify who, in fact, are the real enemies surrounding us, unshackling us from the system, and begin to help all of us imagine a path towards taking back our lives one step at a time. So again, can't recommend TruthStream Media highly enough. So TruthStreamMedia.com is the website you want to go to. And of course, the two characters responsible for TruthStream Media, first one being Miss Melissa Melton. She's an experienced researcher, a graphic artist, and an investigative journalist with a passion for liberty and dedication to truth. Obviously, one of the main reasons that we want to bring her onto the program is to try and help us uncover the New World Order and the agenda behind it, obviously being a prison for the human soul. And of course, the other better half, or equal half, I guess I should say, on the team over there, Mr. Aaron Dykes, a researcher and a writer as well, also a video producer who's worked on numerous documentaries and investigative reports. He uses history as a guide to decode current events, uncover obscure agendas, and to contrast them with the dignity afforded individuals as recognized in documents like the Bill of Rights. So really what we're trying to figure out with these two characters is what in the world is going on around us, and how can we break through the matrix and get back on track with living the way that we are supposed to be living. They were, of course, the very first guests on the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast a couple of months ago, and so it is with a very warm heart that I welcome both of them back onto the program. You guys, thank you very much for joining me on the Red Pill Reports today.
Wow, thank you. That's so many kind words in one. I don't know even quite an introduction. Thank
you. That might have been an overkill. I don't know. But honestly, you guys, the website is outstanding. You guys do such great work. part of me is just so happy to be able to call you guys friends out there in the world. Just to know that you're out there working as hard as you are is just so refreshing. But then to be able to team up and bring your information to our audience is just, you know, I can't be thankful enough, really, to be honest. I want to ask you guys, first of all, thanks for taking time away from the holidays. I know that you guys have got a full house of people over there, and holidays are kind of still raging right now. So thank you guys for taking some time away from that. And my first question is, did you guys get the flu shot gift cards I sent you guys for Christmas?
Yes, and I'm so thankful, really. Oh. I couldn't think of nothing more that I would rather have
right?
as a gift.
That's what I thought, too. I thought, I'm just going to reach out. You know, we make fun of that being a gift idea, but I'll tell you, when I was thinking about, honestly, how ridiculous an idea that the flu shot gift cards was, it dawned on me that people out there, somebody, might have like a rich uncle that they, you know, maybe aren't that fond of. And maybe you want to spend a couple of months chumming up with him and, you know, talking about how great the old flu shot is. Hey, got your flu shot. Here we go. You know, I don't know.
This is the joke that people made. We did a video recently and this is the joke that people made on there. They were talking, I mean, they kept saying just kidding, but they were, multiple people were coming in there thinking of all the people they can't stand in their family. They would get that. I'm like, oh my God, that's horrible. But I don't, is it just me or is it when you go to these big box drugstores, as you're walking around, they've got stickers on random products reminding you to get a flu shot while a voice overhead on a loudspeaker is telling you, you can stop by any time and get the flu shot. As you're checking out and they remind you of the price of the flu shot, there's gift cards next to the register. And then on the way out the door at Walgreens now, they say, be well.
Do they really?
What? Oh, yeah, that's the new thing, be well. And it's funny because it's not funny. It's actually a sick joke. It's like Idiocracy times 1,000. But obviously, if you get the flu shot, and then like so many people that I've personally heard from this year, you get the flu or some measure of it.
Worse. My Jennifer was like, literally, we had this conversation on the Facebook a couple of days ago. She was like, I got my flu shot last weekend, and I sent her all the articles from the CDC saying, you know, it doesn't cover anything, but take it anyway. You know, it might kill you. It's not going to protect you. And the next weekend, strep throat, 4 days in bed, had to go to the hospital, almost died. Like, not an exaggeration. And 5 days, strep throat, almost dead. It's just like, ugh. I tried to warn you.
I know people that got sick because their roommate got the flu shot and came home and didn't tell anyone they had the flu shot, and yes. The whole house of people, all five people living there got sick.
Yeah.
So not just the person who got it also got sick himself, but made everyone else sick too. So, and they've even admitted in Reuters this year that the one they have doesn't even work anyway. And now the CDC came out just today or yesterday and said that the flu has reached epidemic proportions.
It's right. Well, and think about the gift that keeps on giving with the flu shot, because that's what it does, is it makes you a carrier, and then you're also carrying whatever the flu, you know, strain is that the CDC put into the virus or into the vaccine, which isn't the strain of the flu that's going around right now. So we're obviously exacerbating the problem by introducing more strains of the flu to the population, right? I mean, that you can't, that doesn't seem like a difficult
thing. That it's like a casual commodity. It just gave me slight chills to see a gift card. They've already got so many ill-conceived gift cards. Like, here's a fast food restaurant for greasy chicken wings and fries. Your gift from me. I guess next you'll be able to text over a flu shot donation. I mean, I don't know. It's
here's yeah. I mean, I
21st
plus,
century.
I mean, right before Ebola happened. Right before Ebola was the big story. Which I've seen subsequent stories that have come out now, and they said that the CDC even knew that the Ebola outbreak had peaked before they started scaremongering about it and getting all this extra money from the government for it and all right. this stuff, right? That they knew that. But what was actually going on just right before that was the CDC whistleblower coming out, which was one of their own epidemiologists who came out. He was talking about how they had committed fraud in a study to cover up links between the MMR shot and the rise in autism.
Oh, yeah, the autism connection.
Exactly. That was right before Ebola became the hot topic, and everyone stopped talking about CDC whistleblower. But one of the other things that happened right before that, probably like the week before, maybe just even a couple days, was audio that was leaked of that man saying that he personally himself would never give his pregnant wife a flu shot. Ever, because the thimerosal, the mercury preservative in the flu shot, is known to cause tics in the baby and is known to cause autism-like features. And he was on tape saying that, and he's their own epidemiologist because he's seen the data. He knows what they're covering up over there. He went and lawyered up and got a whistleblower, a famous nationally renowned whistleblower lawyer, and lawyered up because he knows what's up. Mm-hmm. So it's just insane. It's like, here, have this shot that deposits, you know, heavy metals in your brain so that later in life you can get Alzheimer's disease or something. And then they say be well, so that I guess you come back when you have all the symptoms, you go back to the drugstore and get like the crap that doesn't really, it just ameliorates the symptoms for a couple of days or whatever. Great. Awesome.
Yeah.
Be well. Be well.
The whole vaccine thing to me, I mean, I'll let you guys in on a secret that I don't really talk about on air, but, you know, my younger brother, is autistic because of vaccines. And I don't believe that it was the flu vaccine that did it to him because he was perfectly normal until he was about 4 months old. And then I watched the seizures happen and I watched everything kind of go downhill. But it's so much more alarming when it happens in your own family and you have to witness it. And then you have to sit there with that realization that something happened. There was a causality that happened here and nobody wants to address it. And then you start looking into the fact that you can't sue vaccine makers, right? We've got, you know, major protection against vaccines, you know, vaccinated.
Because so many were getting sued in the 70s.
Is that why that came about?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So many people were getting damaged that they were suing, and then insurance companies were dropping vaccine companies left and right.
Right.
I've been researching this stuff, and it's just, yeah, so they basically put in all these protections so that you can't sue them. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, and I've said this on air, so I don't mind saying it, but my daughter was diagnosed with Asperger syndrome when she was 5.
Right.
And, you know, and I know that it happened after she got caught up on her shots when she was little. And this is way back in the day before I was awake to all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But we're now to a point in this country where, in boys, it's what, 1 in 42? I could go down my block right now, knock on, you know, every door, and I'm bound to find somebody's kid that's got a problem with this.
Mm-hmm.
And so to have the epidemiologist at the CDC who's been on numerous papers, especially regarding thimerosal, that what's so sick about that is that back in the 80s, I think it was the 80s, was it the 80s or the late 70s, Aaron? Congress had a whole thing about thimerosal because it was in, as a preservative in lotions and creams, you know, over-the-counter stuff you would put on your skin inside your body.
Okay.
And they ruled that that was very dangerous. That was bad and needed to be removed.
Hmm.
So they knew that thimerosal was bad enough you couldn't rub it on your skin. And yet no one for 20 more years thought, oh, maybe we should also not shoot that into a baby. I don't know. Maybe that's a bad idea. Hmm. And no one did anything for 20 years. So all of the years, including the ones where my daughter was little and possibly even your brother, I don't know, they knew that whole time that thimerosal was very damaging, so damaging, in fact, that they ordered it to not be any longer put in anything on your skin, and yet continue to allow it to be shot into pregnant women and babies and elderly people, and that's just fine.
It's just crazy to me. People don't understand that the blood-brain barrier does not exist in a fetus. So when you're taking that stuff as a pregnant mom, I mean, it goes directly to your kids' brains. I mean, there's no question about that.
Absolutely.
And here's the other problem with the blood-brain barrier. I'm not a scientist, but I've tried to understand this. They put in detergents into vaccines, things like polysorbate 80 and other things that separate open holes and basically open doors in the blood-brain barrier as well as the gut barrier to allow in these toxins. And it's something they do in specific brain treatment vaccine and drug treatments to allow specific things that are meant to go to your brain in there, but they also put them in most of these shots. I think all of them, actually.
Man,
and don't they also put antibiotics in there that kill the gut flora too?
Yeah, and so when they put thimerosal or anything else that's questionable or dangerous in a vaccine alongside of a detergent, someone scientifically knows that's probably not a very safe thing when it comes to brain protection, not to mention the fact that the hypothalamus, the pituitary gland, the endocrine system, none of those things are protected by the blood-brain barrier anyway.
Right.
And so everything that's injected or ingested that's going to screw with your hormones and you know, growth factors and things like that is pretty much wide open.
Man,
Really sad. It's I hate to hear that, JD, and it's just not that uncommon anymore.
It's sad.
It's one in 42
that we hear somebody pipe up and say, "Well, my so and so is affected," and
then the gut flora thing. They put those antibiotics in there that kill the gut flora. So when the mother is having her baby, she's not passing on a healthy immune system because a lot of your immune system resides in your gut. So the baby doesn't have that either. And then on top of that, then we have all these shots we give the baby. I can't even remember how many it is just in the first three doses up to 6 months, but it's quite a few. It's like seven now at any one visit. It's insane. We have the most aggressive vaccination schedule in the world. Shouldn't we be like the healthiest country here on the whole planet with all the shots we're putting in these babies?
And you would think so too. And and another thing that people don't think about is, and I'm not sure about which specific vaccines it's in, but I've read, ingredient lists on the CDC that list fetal cells in these abortions. So if you understand then, if I put a foreign fetal cell into some woman's body, their body is going to react to that by essentially saying, that's a foreign invader, and I'm going to now create antibodies for it, which is essentially a backwards way of sterilizing someone. Because that way, if they create a fetal cell later of their own volition, there's a good chance that the body is going to attack that, having recognized it already as a threat. So, I mean...
If you want to know what's going on, I mean, this is some of the stuff we've been researching. What's actually been going on in other countries is they've been covertly testing sterilants, HCG vaccines on women for decades now in third world countries. And it's come out here and there in the news, but it's definitely something. And then most recently it was in Kenya this year. They found that there was HCG laced in their vaccines, and they were telling these Kenyan women that they had to take 5 tetanus shots in a 2-year period. And I guess it was the archbishops there or something, they found out they did a test on these vaccines. 6 of the vaccines they tested, and all 6 of them had HCG laced in it. So they were basically giving these women an inoculation against pregnancy hormone so that an egg will not be able to implant itself in the uterine wall. They will not be able to have babies. I mean, that's just how it is. And they're saying, oh, well, some of these women that got some of these shots are getting pregnant now. Yeah, well, it takes up to 3 years for it to kick in, but once it does, you're done.
Wow.
So,
well,
and they've done it.
Think about Bill Gates at his spiel about how we can knock down population if we got really good with vaccines. Obviously, that's part of the agenda there, you know?
And if you go back into these documents, you'll find out that the Rockefeller Foundation has been working on that stuff. So they've been talking about it since 1968 in their own foundation reports. You'll find out that the World Bank has been in on that. You'll find out that the World Health Organization has been doing studies on that since at least the 80s that we know of. So all of these people have come together to bestow lovingly upon indigent populations. It's just horrible.
What's even more creepy than the fact that it's in there is that when it comes to light, it gets denied and covered up real quick, because this whole Catholic diocese exposed the thing that was going on in Kenya. They had the lots tested, and the official response through the WHO, the relevant U.S. authorities, nonprofits, was no, that's not true. We've had it tested. It's perfectly safe.
It's fine, yeah.
Total lies. And this has popped up over and over again. It happened in the Philippines, Nicaragua, and Mexico, and other countries.
Thailand.
And in our own country, when the investigations came to light about the possible connection between the MMR shot and thimerosal, or the MMR shot and other ingredients in autism, it was extreme denial. It was character assassinations against the doctors investigating it, which was Dr. Andrew Wakefield and his team. They destroyed his career. They lied in congressional testimony. They obscured the facts. They circumvented the questions. And then they conducted a study with their new division of the CDC to investigate autism. And this is what the CDC whistleblower revealed, was that they massaged their own data and took out categories so they could hide the increase of autism. I guess it's similar to the climate change allegations of hiding the decline, but they've been hiding the increase of autism risk based on the shot by fudging the categories of people who qualify for the study.
Wow.
So, it's, it,
That is what.
There's
that,
no that's reason HCG should be
do.
In these vaccines. There's no like it's not like they made a vaccine for tetanus and oops, oh, it fell in a vat of HCG that we just had sitting in the car. I hate when that happens. Right. Dang it! Why? Who left the HCG
times.
Out?
Oh,
who left this out? And they're gonna just keep going. They're gonna. I think it's 2 million Kenyan women. They're gonna give this to. They've already done it to 1 million of them, and they're just gonna keep going because they released. And here's what's interesting, real quick. They released a report at the end of 2013. Saying that Kenyan women are having too many babies. The UN did. And then this happens the very next year. Yes.
Oh my
yes.
gosh.
And then this happens the very next year. I guess that's just a coincidence. Kind of like accidentally having HCG in all of our vaccines. Whoops.
What do you guys
and
think
only
about,
giving it to women.
What about the glyphosate connection? Because there's been an article this week talking about how they, you know, they're anticipating right now that one in every two kids by 2025 is going to be autistic, which is I can't even imagine. I mean, well, one in 40 right now is unimaginable, but one, you know, 50% is absolutely incredible, and especially if you're talking about a timeline of only 10 years. But the articles are really talking about how much glyphosate is basically in everything right now because the EPA, although, I'm sorry, is it? It's the, who are the guys that test all the food? The Departmental Agriculture people? FDA.
Oh, that would be nobody?
Nobody,
yeah, well,
that's right.
Actually really nobody.
Well,
that's
FDA
true.
Came out and they said, we test everything, you know, we
they
you know,
test
of course.
1% of imported food.
Right, we test 1%. By everything we mean 1% of imported. But the good thing is that we've
tested the champagne at the executive's Christmas party.
Well, that's important. We don't want anything happening to those people. I mean, that's, you know, Aaron, they're better than us. That's why
that's
they're there.
True. They
but
really
so they only test the 1%. And then they also mentioned, just kind of candidly in the same article, that glyphosate, not something that they're really concerned about. So they don't check for glyphosate in anything because it's too costly.
They wouldn't want to know the answer. When they don't want to know the answer to something because they know it's going to be horrible,
right.
Then they just say more studies need to be done, kick the can
horrifying.
Down the road, and never do them.
I was
going to
say it's horrifying, too. Yeah, well, they've just completely covered it up. It's in everything, and there's been these fraudulent studies revealed to say, you know, organic food and regular food, there's no difference. It's just as healthy. It's fine to eat these pesticides. They know it kills things, and we know it has a connection with destroying gut flora. It's connected with digestive issues, and all this is connected with autism. So is one thing causal and the other thing just making it worse? I'm not sure, but there's a link there between the vaccines, between the pesticides, the glyphosate. And we're facing a total environmental doomsday scenario, really, I think. It's destroying, you know, the people of the next generation. It's not doing that well either.
I kind of wonder if this is the goal, though, if they kind of they want people who are autistic. And I know that sounds awful to say, but, you know, those are people who would typically be the good factory workers. They're not going to think outside of the box. They're not going to question authority.
They're going to do
like
what they're
that.
Told. Yeah.
So I kind of wonder if this is something that they knew, you know, they could put this much of this into the vaccines and they could, you know, elicit this kind of result. And maybe the glyphosate connection is part of that agenda also.
Yeah. I mean, I think the worst thing that I've heard this year is that glyphosate is being sprayed on all of the wheat in this country right before they harvest it too. So I did not know about that, but you know, I've had gluten issue. I've taken the blood test and everything. I've had serious issues with that. It was making me very ill. I used to be about 5 years ago, I was on 8 different medications and I was getting sicker and sicker. And every time I would go to the doctor, they would just tell me I had another disorder and give me more medication. They would never tell me what was actually wrong. It took me doing my own research to figure out what was wrong with me. And then my doctor tried to argue with me that I'm, you know, diagnosing myself on the internet, but that's pretty much one of the last, I've only been a doctor twice in the last 5 years since that happened. I barely believe in that system at all anymore because it's just such a joke. I mean, if I had continued with it, I probably would have just killed myself.
Right.
But basically what I found out was that if you have a gluten issue, the eating, it destroys your intestinal lining, and that can manifest itself in over 200 different horrible symptoms. Everything from your hair falling out, not being insomnia, to all kinds of digestive problems like Crohn's disease and IBS and just heartburn, all these things, right? Lots of stuff, even anxiety disorder, all that stuff, depression. So you have all these problems. Well, it turns out that before they harvest wheat in this country, they spray all of it down with a big healthy dose of Roundup, a big healthy dose of glyphosate, because it's supposed to help make the machines last longer. Plus, it makes the wheat basically do like a a last cough, like, bleh. Like, it spits out, so they have a little bit of a bigger harvest because it's dying, because it's dead. It's right. We're all eating this dead food, right? And so they put all this on there right before they harvest it to sell it. So everyone who's eating wheat in this country is getting a nice dose of glyphosate residues in their food. I mean, that's just basically what's up.
That's like the American staple diet, too, man. If you think about how many times do you eat bread and, non-organic meat every day, or how
many
pizzas
do you eat? Everything.
Yeah.
Aaron took me to a restaurant, and they said that before they ship the cheese to the store, they sprinkle flour on all of it as a preservative. So, I mean, trace amounts of it in all kinds of stuff, and it's everywhere, and yet stuff is, I'm sure, has cumulative effects, just like everything does, on your body, and you're eating this stuff, and it's destroying people's gut flora, it's destroying their intestinal lining, and so are we really all, because gluten-free has become a $4 billion or more industry in this country, and there are people that say, oh, it's just a diet fad, and there are other people that get really sick, but are we really getting sick from eating gluten, or are we really just getting sick from eating all this glyphosate that they're putting directly on it? And the freaking EPA, the FDA, all these, you know, alphabet agencies, they just keep raising the tolerable limits of this stuff right. everywhere and making approvals for new horrible ones. What's that new one, 2,4-D or whatever, that's a derivative of Agent Orange?
New but old, yeah.
New but old, right. Yay, let's bring that one back from the Vietnam War. We'll put that all over the food, too. Pretty soon the food is just going to be like skull and crossbone symbols on everything, because, I mean, it might as well be now.
Also, and brought to you by the wonderful folks at Monsanto. Just want to put that back out there.
Lovely. They love you all. Oh. Yeah, well, I've known people that have gone to other countries. They've gone over to, say, Italy. They can eat the wheat over there and not get sick. And then they eat it here, they get sick.
That's
why
interesting.
Is that? I wonder why that is.
I lived in England when I was studying abroad. I lived there for about a year. And, you know, that's one of the main things that you hear before you go to England is, A, there's, you know, everybody's got bad teeth and the food is going to be garbage, right? Everybody just warned me before I got there. And I'll tell you what, you get there and you can't buy a gallon of milk, at least in the local small shops, you know, in the little town that I was in. You couldn't buy a gallon of milk because they don't preserve their milk there, and it only lasts 3 days. So why would you want to buy more milk? Seriously, everything was in smaller quantities. Everything was completely fresh. Even the stuff that was, like, not organic was absolutely 1,000 times better than any food that I'd ever gotten here. And the first month, my stomach reacted so badly to it because I don't think my stomach had been used to actual food, you know. And but I'll tell you, the people over there, they eat so much better than we do here. People, I don't think here understand that, you know, just because there's two boxes of macaroni and cheese on the shelf at the store, that they come from the same factory. It's all part of this illusion of choice, you know, that we have. That's part of the motif of living in our wonderful country here.
10 mega companies own all of the food.
Oh, yeah, you saw
basically.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, that's crazy. And most of them are like chemical companies. They're not even companies that have any kind of connection to food. You know?
Yeah. No, it's horrible. We're eating dead food.
That tells you something right there. The chemical companies make the food.
Yeah.
It isn't food. And the few things that have been banned and addressed have been done by Europe or maybe Canada and the Western world. We're always last to ban something in the U.S. And our regulatory agencies basically have the role of, in a murder mystery in the Clue mansion, they're always hiding the weapon and covering up the evidence.
Right.
So
right.
What does that tell you about?
Well, it's because most of them either have worked for Monsanto or are planning to retire at Monsanto once they leave the EPA. You know, I mean, that revolving door exists in every single corner of our government, but I don't think you could find a stronger connection between, like Monsanto and the EPA or Monsanto and the FDA, because it seems like those people are all just, you know, interchangeable at this point. It's just absolutely crazy.
It is that. Well, the revolving door chart, whenever I write an article about Monsanto, when I put up the revolving door chart, the text on it is so, it's probably like a 6-point font. It's so small because of how right. big it is. And I have to put click to open.
All right. We got to take a 3-minute break. Our guest today, Aaron Dykes, Melissa Melton of TruthStream Media. Please go check out TruthStreamMedia.com. We got a quick 3-minute break and we will come back and we'll figure out if 2014 was in fact the worst year ever in history. Keep it right here, guys.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
You make a great team. It's been that way since the day you met. But your erectile dysfunction? It could be a question of blood flow. Sometimes when a politician has been in D.C. too long, it goes to his head and he just can't seem to get the job done. Used on a daily basis, WinnerEgg in Congress will help you every time the moment is right to have your voice heard at the federal level. When using WinnerEgg, it's important to note that the borders will be secured, Second Amendment rights protected, Obamacare and Planned Parenthood will be defunded, and common sense will be used in solving the nation's problems. Other signs of erectile dysfunction may include extreme skin discoloration, the inability to punch oneself out of a wet paper bag,
or maintain a spine in the face of liberal opposition,
amore de gramine verde, smoking,
and golf. If you have a boner lasting longer than 23 years, seek immediate medical attention. WinnerEgg. Because Boehner shouldn't count his chickens before they hatch.
It's Boehner.
I'm J.D. WinnerEgg, and I approve this message.
It's called being lucky. It's called having everything go your way.
Chris and Ciriccio, Saturdays and Sundays on Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for sticking with us through that three-minute break. We are in the final segment of our guest segment today, the last half hour of the show, and we are joined by the crack investigative research team over from truthstreammedia.com, of course, talking about Aaron Dykes and Melissa Melton, two of the more interesting people that I know on the planet, and I'm very thankful that they joined us today. Before the break, we were kind of talking about the flu vaccines and the shots and all of that stuff. I want to get away from that topic and just get this into a little bit more of a broad discussion here about 2014. We're wrapping up the year, obviously, the last day of the year. I never thought we would happen. Just think, tomorrow we will be equally as far from the year 2000 as we are from the year 2030. Does that mess with your brain or what? I guess the question that I have for you guys is, in your opinion, was 2014 the worst year ever in the history of the world? Because I honestly think that it might have been. I'm serious. Oh, wow. Think about what's
every
happened.
Every year just gets continuously. I feel like we're slowly falling off a cliff, a lot like the movie Inception with the van falling right off. It just keeps getting slower, but it doesn't mean we're not falling off. But it's like you see it and it's in slow motion. It's some horrible nightmare you can't wake up from.
I know. Well, that's the thing is, like, I keep reading these news articles every day. Like, the one that hit me this week was the new Supreme Court decision that basically says that a police officer doesn't have to know the law at all. If they have some sort of reasonable misunderstanding about the law, they can do whatever they want to you. And I always read these articles and I kind of picture myself like sitting on a beach someplace reading this article and thinking, man, I'm really glad I don't live there. But I keep reading these articles and it's like, oh crap, I totally live there. And, you know, I mean, honestly, it's getting worse and worse.
No, it is like that. I think one of the craziest things that I found out about this year had to do with the fact that our police are absolutely using pre-crime techniques now, just like you would see in the beginnings of Minority Report. All of these dystopic movies, by the way, we live in all of them. It's just we're in the movie that happened before those movies actually happened, and people right. do not realize it. But it's so true. We're before Hunger Games, yeah. when the revolution was going to happen. We're before Minority Report. We're right before Gattaca because they're doing that. They're talking about that stuff now. I mean, it's just we're there. People just don't realize it because it's not right in their face yet. But I guess for me, this blew my mind that what cops are actually using now, there's this software and it's made by a company that's actually international, but they're handing this out to law enforcement agencies like Candy have been since 2012. That essentially, when they pull you over or you call 911, what it does is it uses an algorithm to run a background check on every person in your home or every person in your car or whatever, and they don't just look at the public records, you know, past arrest history, stuff like that, basic information. They also go ahead and look at your purchases. They go ahead and look at all of your social media stuff, anything you've written on social media, and then it amalgamates this stuff together and gives you a color-coded threat score. So you're either green, yellow, or red before the officer ever lays eyes on you. And so Aaron was pulled over in a small Texas town, very small, on a basic sunny weekday afternoon. And before the cop ever saw Aaron, he was yelling, "Put your hands where I can see it," like freaking out, okay?
Right.
And, you know, Aaron was like, "What the hell?" Like, you know?
Unbeknownst to myself, I'd been identified as a threat. Were
you color red? I mean, were you
ultimate? He was. Well, they don't the thing is, they don't tell you what color you are, and it's just like the terror watch list. You have no way to dispute this or argue about it or see what's on your chart or any of that stuff.
Right.
It's just, this is all done within 60 seconds. They can run this report on you.
It was bizarre, too, because everything in my surroundings was telling me this is a pretty relaxed evening. Okay, a traffic stop. That's not real fun, but it's a sunny day. It's in the afternoon. Not a lot going on.
Tiny town where nothing ever happens.
I was pretty at ease, and then it's, "Put your hands where I can see them." And the thing is, it wasn't even like a jerk cop who was super aggressive and macho. I mean, he honestly came off as a pretty nice guy once he finally calmed down and decided I wasn't going to be at least an immediate threat,
right.
You know. And I was like, I asked him why he wanted me to put my hands out, and he just kind of asked a question like, "Well, I have probable cause, and your tent looks kind of dark, and..."
Yeah, he just kept pointing out that your window tint is dark.
Fortunately, things got better from there because they could definitely get worse. But I walked away with just a sinking feeling that this has all been written out and it's not going to be pretty.
Right.
I mean, we have cops now, and if you own a gun legally in the state you're in, you're permitted to carry it, and you drive over into another state, cops will pull you over and raid your car looking for the gun that you're, because they don't recognize permits between states just as a reason. And then you have owners going, "How did they know that? How do they know that? Are you kidding? They're using the NSA $3 billion spy hub out in the Utah desert to run these reports continuously on all of us. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? We're so beyond 1984 with this stuff. And I when I found that, I was like, wow. So you think about it. I mean, you go on Facebook and say, "Man, I think police brutality sucks. This is such a police state we live in." Well, that used to be called the First Amendment and your right to free speech. Now it's you being guilty until proven innocent in a traffic stop, mm-hmm. because they're going to look at you funny.
It just brings it home too, because we've always heard that your permanent record's going to follow you in grade school. Ha ha ha. But it's kind of meant to be like a joke, or is that really true? No, it's true.
It's absolutely true.
It's absolutely true. And of course, I've known for all the years that have been outspoken, which has been many now, over a decade, you know, that basically I'm some kind of thought criminal.
You got arrested for yelling at Carl Rove.
And, you know,
that's like the best escalate ever.
He was arrested for, what was that, where he came to talk somewhere here in somewhere in Austin, and you you got pulled out of the room and arrested for yelling at him that he was a war criminal or something. So that's in there. So when they pull him over, they're like, oh gosh, this guy. Yeah. So,
but the thing is, they really are tracking dissent. There's really an attempt to chill free speech and clamp down. Sure, I've got the right to say it, but are there going to be consequences? Well, it's a private, public, fascist tracking you and suspecting you before you're guilty of anything system.
Right.
And it's absolutely going to catch up with other people, too. If I'm on the forefront, well, I mean, fortunately, nothing really happened to me, but the potential was there for something really awful to happen.
And they can drill down. I mean, they can drill down into this data, and they can look at specifically what you posted, what you said. They have that ability to do so. So when a cop takes your license and registration and insurance and goes back to his car and sits down for a while, used to be people thought that was because he was writing a ticket and checking on stuff. And now it's because he's checking even further into, like, things you said on Twitter. Because he can do that. But
he doesn't individually know what I said or if he agrees with it or if he really thinks it's trouble. Not that I don't have a right to say it. He just knows that there's a red flag, go bull charge, you know. Right. Mm-hmm. And how many steps are we away from this, from listing people who are known to own a gun? People who, if you show up for a domestic dispute, well, you got a gun. Well, it's on, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe we need the SWAT team.
Yeah. That's what they do. So they give you a color-coded score, right? So they pull over, oh, this guy's a red. If he wants to, he can click buttons and buttons and buttons and get all the way down to seeing exactly what you did say, actually. That is in there. That's something they can do. So it's like the guy is making a judgment call on who you are before he ever sees your face. That, to me, is just – so that's going to be based on his own personal feelings, too, because obviously if you said something – because, I mean, I always write – I wrote an article the other day that was talking about the data showing that the police in this country kill an average of 3 people every day in this country. And so I wrote that article, and I had someone calling me a police basher in there saying that because I said that, now I'm bashing all of police, which is not true. I do think there are still some good cops. There are still oath keepers. There are still some people who actually try to get into this for the right reasons. Mm-hmm. What's happening, though, is they're training the police in this country to look at us as enemy combatants. I mean, they're saying that America's a war zone.
Yes.
I mean, there was that sheriff in, I think, Pulaski County in Indiana, county of less than 14,000 people, got an MRAP because, you know, got to have these tank-like vehicles. I always get people that come into articles, too, and tell me that MRAPs are not tanks. Okay, for all intents and purposes on the American soil, that's a freaking tank because I don't have one, so it's a tank, all right? So it's a tank. They're getting these tanks. They're giving them to towns that have less than 5,000 people up in Michigan. I mean, they're just giving them out all over the place, Pentagon Surplus Program. And he said the reason they need it is because America is a war zone. They gave an MRAP to the San Diego Unified School District, okay,
right.
because of Sandy Hook, because everything now is like 9/11 because Sandy Hook. Yes. They just give them out, you know. Here's some, and they're gonna. They said they're gonna paint it like a rescue vehicle, like a ambulance, and they're gonna put teddy bears in it.
That makes it softer, right? That makes it more more community oriented.
Because if someone's inside the cafeteria shooting up the school, having the 5-mile-an-hour MRAP coming on the block is going to do what?
Well, are they going to throw teddy bears at the assailants? Is that the new plan?
I guess so. Well, because they're not going to actually. And it's like, you're not fire. You're not EMS. Why do you police need this MRAP in the school district? Because they're going to, it's a rescue vehicle with teddy bears in it.
That's what it comes down to me, is that, you know, that this whole discussion about Ferguson and about the situation in New York and things like that, is that people, in my opinion, the mainstream media is way missing the boat on this, because, you know, there are 3 factors that I think we need to consider. The first one being this police officers that are being, you know, we know from the Supreme Court it's okay to hire guys with low IQ. Not knocking on all cops out there. I'm just saying the employment process.
They will not hire you if you have an IQ over a certain level. They
that's
will not
conjecture,
hire you.
That's conjecture. That's actually fact. So they won't hire you if you're too smart. That's a given. You're also hiring ex-military guys, people on PTSD drugs, and then you dress them in a fancy costume, which is military-based, and then you put them in a military vehicle. Is there any wonder that we have police officers with military mentalities roaming our streets? And then so you get the article like we had last week coming out of the State Highway Patrol of California, where they have now put a new thing on their website. site to welcome veterans in, because veterans fit right in to the militarized, you know, industrial program that they have there. So I thought that was interesting. But so you have this idea that we're using our environment in the last 20 years to create a killer cop mentality. That's something that needs to be discussed. The environment there exists. And then at the same time, we're creating the, not we, but the agenda has been to create the thug mentality. You know, you take away the education of these poor inner city kids, fill them full of drugs from the CIA and liquor stores on every corner, and then you covert the, you know, or you subvert the music industry to promote rap music that foments violence against women and cops and things like that, and you flood a kid's head with that for 20 years, what do you think is going to happen? You're going to get a division, and that's what we see. And then the other issue that nobody wants to talk about is racism. And racism, it exists. It's not something that we can just avoid. I'm racist. Apparently, I have subconscious racist tendencies, just like every single other person does. And the case in point would be this recent shooting that happened in Berkeley, just outside of Ferguson, where the black kid apparently or allegedly pulled a gun on an officer at the mobile station there. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So on Facebook, you know, when that video came up, there was three videos that came out of that. None of which really clearly show the kid having a gun, by the way. But all of my friends, and I'll preface this again by saying I live near St. Louis, and I grew up in St. Louis. So I have a lot of people that are friends of mine there that live in St. Louis still and are really, you know, close to the situation. All of them, every single one of them, without question, just said, another one off the streets. Good job. You know, case closed. And I thought, wow, you know, first of all, what the hell is wrong with these people? If that kid had been successful and had shot that cop, would we not be wondering what happened? Would we not be asking more questions? Yes, we'd be mourning the loss of him, but we'd probably want to know, why didn't he have his body camera on? What do you mean there's no dash cam footage? You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
The normal questions. Why? How can we solve this problem? There's more violence erupting. How can we eliminate the causality of violence to begin with? But nobody wants to do that. They just want to say, okay, good riddance. You know, he was another bad dude.
It's sick.
It blows my mind.
I don't understand it at all, you guys. I actually took a screen capture last week and just wrote about the fact that that same week that was going on, the police shot 10 people in this country in different states, all in different states, and five of them died.
Wow.
And then another guy was run over by cops who were responding to a 911 call and just was a pedestrian crossing the street, and they came around the corner and just ran him over.
No lights on, by the way.
So in like just a few, yeah, exactly. So just in a few, and that was over like a, not even a week's period of time, all of these people were shot.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, they, in this era of big data where they keep data on freaking everything, where Target stores happen to have one of the biggest forensics labs in the country that's actually borrowed by the FBI all the time. When we have that much data going on.
Are you serious?
On,
is that real?
Yeah, that's absolutely true, yes.
That's crazy.
Well, yeah, oh yeah, they all the time. And so when we have that going on, right, we have that level of data. Because you remember there was that story about Target, how they knew that one girl was pregnant before her own dad did?
Oh,
yeah, Target has it's even on their Wikipedia page. They have one of the largest forensics labs in the country. When we have this going on with this much data floating around, we're supposed to all believe that no one anywhere has been keeping track of how many police shootings there are of average citizens on any given day.
Yeah,
we're
no,
supposed to believe that is the case.
Of the 18,000 police forces out there that are supposed to be turning in data to the FBI, do you know how many actually turn in data to the FBI every year? 784.
Wow,
out of 18,000.
Awesome.
So now that's why there was an article this last week about there's new legislation actually sitting on Barack's desk right now, which would mandate the requirement for all police departments to turn in data about
shootings. Why do we have to do that?
I know.
Why do we have
question.
To do that?
Like, do we really need a law? Until that law came about, I thought obviously they turn in data. I mean, this is one of the most data hungry countries in the world. Nope.
To go get a driver's license in Texas, you have to give them right now. This is how it is. All 10 of your fingerprints. You have to answer questions about whether or not you have PTSD. You have to answer. They make you sign a little box. I've got the form because I'm going to do a report on it. They have a little box where your signature goes, and in the box they ask you demographic questions about what type of home you live in, if it's rented or whatever. And you can't get it until you check boxes on this thing and tell them things like if you live in a house or an apartment. Right. So I have to turn in all of this information on myself down to what kind of house I freaking live in just to be able to drive a car in this country. And cops can shoot people and don't have to turn in data to anyone? Are you kidding me? Seriously. And so the reason I was saying three people a day is because there's a Facebook page. Like, this is the sad part. There is a Facebook page now that's called Killed by Police on Facebook. And every time someone is killed by police in any, for any reason, you know, whatever, if they, if it was just somehow justified or not, I mean, and I cannot honestly, the fact that they keep saying this is all justified to just walk, you know, they get out of the car and just mow someone down with bullet like 21 times. Are you kidding me? But anyway, they've been keeping track of this, and we're up to over 1,000, just this year. And that was before the, I mean, I don't know what it is now, but this was when I wrote this. And then, since they started doing it, which was May 1st, 2013, it was over, it was about 1,900 people that they had on there that were killed by police just since that time when they started keeping track of it on a daily basis.
Right.
So that is where that data comes from, because we can't get that data from our own friggin' government. So we give these people weapons of war. We suit them up. I mean, you can look at pictures of what cops look like in other countries, and they still have that little hat that looks kind of what, octagonal or whatever it is, hexagonal or something. Germany's cops, I saw a picture the other day, and they still walk around with those like Mayberry hats or whatever. Not here. We have like freaking, I don't know, it looks like a Tom Clancy book cover or something.
Totally.
Walking around. It's insane. They got like the scopes and everything. That's our cops. And they're just killing people and mowing people down and shooting people 21 times, and we don't have data on that.
Let me ask.
We don't even know what that is.
You might not know this number. I don't know. I don't know if you know it or not, but how many people, just as a, you know, putting it into perspective, how many people died this year at the hands of cops in the UK?
I don't know that number off the top of my head, but I can find it.
I'm pretty sure it's zero, and I'm pretty sure
probably
I'm pretty sure it's not any. And I think they've also been, like, if you look at the history of police deaths with cops, theirs is way lower than ours as well. And it's maybe not relevant.
They make a big deal out of it. They make a big deal out of it. I mean, I've got friends that live over there, and they talk about this. They're like, are the cops just insane over there? They give them all steroids in the water? Like, I've had people ask me that, friends of mine that live in the UK, because they're just, they cannot believe how many people. I mean, a friend of ours went to Amsterdam recently, and they were just talking to him randomly about, wow, the cops in your country are just insane, and they're killing everyone. Because that's what it looks like to the rest of the world. It looks nuts. It looks like our cops are just crazy, bloodthirsty psychos.
And this is where I don't understand the role of police unions. Why is it in their interest to protect the worst of the worst, the bad apples, when they kill unarmed people and do things that obviously no one wants to support, when public support, public perception of the police is obviously important?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. I don't get why they would protect the bad apples at the expense of everyone else. Just obviously, there must be people interested in the division of society.
Oh,
and everything you said about the, you know, promoting the thug culture is true, but there's the prison industrial complex might be the biggest factor. Because if you're a black person in the 21st century growing up in the suburbs, yeah, you might have a pretty good chance of going to college, having a decent job. But if you're growing up in the inner city, you're probably thinking it's more likely you're going to end up in prison in some point in your life than in some upwardly mobile situation. It's so sad that this is still perpetuated, and yet some force has been dragging us back down into division and the awful parts of racism since the founding of this country. You know, this is a long rant, I guess. I'm not going to get into it, but even in the colonial days and days leading up to the revolution, there were significant pushes to end slavery in some cases, and they actually appealed to the British monarchy, to end slavery in some of the colonies, and they were denied. That's listed in the Train of Abuses in 1776. And yes, a lot of the guilt for slavery is on the founders' hands, but there were attempts to defuse that situation as well before it became institutionalized, but it was thwarted. And I'm sure that ends up being the case at many turns in our sad history. I don't understand why this is perpetuated so much. And for all the problems in the Bush years, it really seemed like racism was starting to fade away, and yet it's worse than ever under the first black president. I don't understand.
Well, and I think what's startling to me is that we have a group of people that are still focused on, you know, the slavery issue as kind of what they hang their hat on. You know, we still need reparations from this, and this is, you know, the root cause of all that. But there are things going on in society right now. You just mentioned the disproportionate number of African Americans in prison. That's obviously is an issue that you don't need to go back in history to find to be angry about. You can look in Wikipedia right now and be very angry about it. You could also talk about Planned Parenthood and the fact that more than 50% of black children are never born in this country because of a eugenics program sponsored by Rockefellers and you know, amongst others. So there are things right now where we can see institutionalized racism going on, and we're not choosing to address that. And again, that brings me back to the point of, you know, until you identify the causality of the violence in society, you can't address it. And if we're going to just skirt all of that stuff under the rug and say, well, we are where we are right now, he was a thug, that guy is a bad cop.
It's just so messed up. Well, people have had their critical thinking skills either removed or they were never there to begin with, and right. They replaced it by the television because, I mean, if anything, Ferguson was proof that we have mind-controlled robotic zombies in this country. It was just proof of it, because if you're so mad about the police violence, which, by the way, has been building up, this police state's been building up around us for a long time, and now these people got mad. They got mad because the media told them to get mad. They got mad at what they were told to get mad at, and then they didn't even do anything about it. They said, okay, we're gonna release the grand jury decision. It's gonna be at 8 p.m. November 24th, and everyone waited to get really mad about it and start burning things down and get angry until 8 p.m. on November 24th. So I'm so angry, I will be really mad about this at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time on November 24th. I mean, that is what it is. It's like predictive programming. It's the most, that to me was the scariest part about the whole thing, because there were people, everyone knew what that decision was going to be. Come on. Everybody knew. The parents were already told beforehand. And when they said the decision's going to be announced live, USA Today was already reporting on what the decision
like 26
was 10 minutes before.
Yeah.
So, they had like 15 minutes before that. And then when I pointed that out, everyone's like, oh, well, of course they knew. Well, of course they knew. Then why is everyone acting like it's such a big deal and started rioting, and cops immediately start shooting at protests, all this stuff, right, at 8 p.m.? Mm-hmm. Why? You know what I'm saying? It's a creep. It looks like a wag the dog times a million. It's powerful.
It is, and you can even look at other articles that are trying to sculpt the scene, too. There was an article about a shooting that happened really kind of around the same time in Ferguson, but I think it was in Arizona or something like that, where I want to say somebody was shot, and the media used the term a non-white. You know what I mean? But it wasn't a black person. It was like a Hispanic guy and a white
Latino
meth head or something.
Yeah.
But they use that phrase, non-white, and then you read that and you think,
to make it a race issue.
Exactly.
We're all enslaved in this police state right now. I mean, yeah, there may be a disproportionately high number of certain groups being arrested and stuff, but we're all being, the whole thing is coming up around all of us. So if anything, we should be banding together, but they're trying to divide people more than ever.
I agree.
You know what Webster Tarpley wrote in his unauthorized Barack Obama biography that came out shortly after his election? Because it rings so true today.
It's creepy.
At the time, I was like, okay, I respect what Webster writes. I don't know. He talked about, he cited all the foundations Obama worked for and said he's a community organizer, which is a poverty pimp, a cynical opportunist who exploits suffering people. Obama's foundation strategy is divide and conquer, pitting blacks against whites, etc., to preserve Wall Street rule. Obama qualifies as a postmodern fascist. An Obama administration means brutal economic sacrifice to finance Wall Street bailouts and imperialist confrontation with Russia and China.
Wow. When did he write that?
Shortly after the election in 2008, 2009.
Yeah, 2008. Boy. Actually, yeah, he was working on it before Obama got elected.
Man, talk about hitting the hammer on the head there, or hitting the nail on the head.
Absolutely. So, and now look what everything he said in that little teeny description of his book is absolutely happening right now. I mean, that's the thing. They're talking about all this stuff with the freaking Sony hack. Like, oh, give me a break, seriously. It's so I can't even, I've started just researching old stuff to talk about right now. I won't even look at, they're like, oh, another plane got lost. I'm like, no, I'm not even going to look at this news. It just looks so fake and stupid. I watched Wag the Dog the other day,
right.
And since then, I have had such a hard time even looking at the news, which sucks because it's my job.
Right.
But it's just like, everything looks completely staged and ridiculous. I mean, think about, I've started looking back into all of these major events that have happened. And right before or after they happen, something's going on. Like, for example, with the Aurora shooting, the Batman shooting, James Holmes,
mm-hmm.
right when that happened, just days before, Sheriff Arpaio had come out and said he had figured out with his investigation that the birth certificate was fake, and
right.
he had all this evidence, right?
Right.
So then that happens. Or, for example, when Obama was about to announce executive amnesty, which was right before the the Ferguson grand jury verdict was happening, that same, the night before that, there was a guy who walked in and shot up the library at Florida State University.
Really?
Every time this happens, you can look and see it. Something else has happened national stage.
We got to leave, guys. That's always the fastest hour in radio, the hours I spend with Aaron Dykes and Melissa Melton. Truth Stream Media, go check it out, truthstreammedia.com. Guys, thank you very much for being here on the program today.
Thanks.
I was going to ask them if how excited they were going to be about the Hillary and Jeb runoff, but I guess we'll have to have an Are they going to spend more than $1 billion, you think? I think they will. We'll see you guys later. Have a great day.
The Apple's iPhone 5S has been very successful in the US, but we realize that people here in India cannot afford the iPhone. That's why we've decided to work closely with the Apples to bring the iPhone experience to India. We call it the iPhone 5X. The iPhone 5X was built with advanced new hardware. The phone runs on the new Apple's A10 Snapdragon 7870 HD 2-liter turbo Galaxy 29 GHz processor. Our advanced operating system features some of the best apps out there. We have classics such as Instant Gram, Samosa Crush Saga, World of Duty, Call of Warcraft, and Temple Run, in which you get to run from an actual mob of Hindu priests.
And to wrap it all up, we have 24/7 customer service lines in case you idiots need help with your new iPhones.
Hello, welcome to iPhone tech support. This is Ben Katesh.
Are you sure you're not one of those outsourced white people?